So you may notice the bulletin has a blank. I didn't get my sermon title over quick enough. But if you want to know the sermon title and you want to write it down, get your pencil and write down the back porch. That's the name of the sermon title. Scripture lesson today comes from John 14, verses 1 through 14. And it's interesting where this whole mood and Holy Spirit right now, the climate of this church is. I was wondering about it as this sermon started to take place, as it started to shape for something called the back porch. And I know you're like, the back porch, what in the world is wrong with them? Follow along. From the Gospel of John, in the 14th chapter, it gives us the ultimate promise, the ultimate hope. Jesus is speaking, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen the Father has seen me. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." May God add his blessings to this scripture as we seek him out. Father, set aside our labors. Let our hearts be open. Let us not dwell on that outside world right now. Let us be ready for this message that you have given us. We thank you, Father, for these words. In Jesus' name, all of his children said, Amen. Now, I realize that lately I've been hammering you all hard. I went back and looked at my sermons, and I've been pounding the old pulpit. So today, I give you a break. I'm done preaching. No, you don't like that? Seriously, let's relax. Let's take a break. Let's relax. Don't you get so relaxed like that guy who kept falling asleep in church. You heard about him, right? Every time the sermon started, he'd look back there on the back row, and old boy would be back there asleep. And the preacher said, "I've had enough of it, and I'm going to fix him." So the next Sunday, he had something in mind, and he waited. And sure enough, when he got to preaching along, he looked, and that old boy was back there on the back. He said, "I got him now." He said, "Everybody in this whole church that wants to go to heaven, stand up." And of course, the whole congregation, except the man asleep, stood up. He said, "All right, sit down." He said, "Everybody in here that wants to go to hell, stand up." And the man woke up and heard the words, "Stand up," so he stood up. And he looked around for a minute. He said, "Preacher, I don't know where we're going or what we're doing, but the only two standing is you and me." You need to take a break every now and then. You need to relax. Why do you need to take a break? I read a story about two fellows who were always trying to outdo one another, and they had challenged themselves to a wood chopping contest. They was going to cut wood all day long and chop it into fire stove lengths. And at the end of the day, they'd measure their piles, and the winner with the most wood would be declared the one. And so the one man who bragged about how much he could do got to work, and he labored and he hammered on that wood and he went at it. And every time he looked around, he couldn't see the other fellow. And the day grew long, and they had several breaks during the day by the one fellow. And the one fellow took a long and leisurely lunch. And at the end of the day, the man who had worked all day long, as hard as he could, was annoyed to find that the man who seemingly was goofing off had chopped, cut, and split way more wood than he did. He said, "I don't get it." He said, "Every time I checked, you were sitting underneath that shade tree or eating a bite of a sandwich or something. But yet you chopped more wood than I did." He said, "I'm going to tell you right now, the one thing you didn't notice is every time I stopped to take a break, I was sharpening my axe." You understand? Say amen. You ain't going to do nothing if you work so hard that you get dull. So today we take a little break. I'm going to be easy on you. I'm not going to yell and make you do a bunch of stuff. Although I have in mind an experiment where this side of the church sits there and this side of the church sits there. Look at everybody's faces. "I ain't getting up from my seat." No, I'm only kidding. I know great people today who are always going 100 miles an hour. 100 miles an hour. Here lately, I have caught myself making this statement when people say, "Paul, how you doing?" Instead of me answering them, I say, "I'm just so busy. I'm busy all the time. I'm busy, busy, busy." See, yesterday, I got unbusy. As you notice, Wendy's not here. Wendy went away this weekend to Ocean City, Maryland, to a thing called Fiber Fest. Oh, don't you want to know what that is? It's a collection of women, I hope, who are into crochet and knitting and yarn and spinning yarn and learning how to spin and learning how to crochet and knit. And she asked me, she goes, "Do you want to go along?" I said, "I would rather slam my hand shut in the car door 10 times than attend that." That's the truth. I wasn't that busy. And she goes, "Good, you can stay home with the boys." And so we had chores to do yesterday. I rolled them out of bed at 6:30 in the morning. We went to breakfast, and then we came home, and we loaded the truck, and we went to the dump, and the boys had to take some volunteer time for 4-H, and so we went and did the volunteer time, and we came home, and they had to go skating, and we had to get them ready to go skating. But in amongst that, these boys who never stopped talking about nothing led me to believe you have to take a break, relax, and listen. Oh, they chattered on, but it actually began to be fun, and suddenly I forgot how busy I was. And when they went skating, I sat home waiting for them to come home, and when they did, it was time for them to get a shower, and it was upstairs. And upstairs, taking their showers in the shower, I could hear them singing. I don't know what, but I could just hear them singing. That touched me. That reminded me of just how busy are you. We get going pretty hard. We get to thinking about all the things we want to do. You know, there's a lot of people who will tell me on a Sunday morning, "Brother, I ain't got time to go to church on Sunday morning. That's my day." No, it ain't. That's not your day. That's the Lord's day. That's the day you need to have your backside in the pew saying, "Thank you for thinking about me. I'm too busy that day. I got to do everything that I couldn't do all through the week." Did you work Saturday? No. Well, what'd you do on Saturday? Well, we had to go here and here and here and here and here and here. Well, what are you doing Sunday? Well, that's my day to rest. I'm all about that. My easy chair is waiting for me at some point this afternoon. But it's not your day. But we still need to take a break. I listened to him, and he began to take me back in time a little bit. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, we hear these words, just a single verse. "In one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." Do you know what that means? He took a break. He went and sat down. He went to talk to his father. He stepped away from everything. Do you think Jesus was busy? Oh, I would think he was busy. Everybody wanted to know who he was. My name's Paul Leatherman III, and everybody wants to know who I am, so they know to stay away from me. How does that work? He was busy, and yet he stopped. And he took a moment. The Bible says he went out away from everybody. He got away, and he sat down. This morning when I got up to let the cat out at 5 o'clock in the morning, because it's not so cold, and that cat has decided her wake-up time is now 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to get that cat. I opened the door and off in the distance, I caught just the faintest scent, just a little teeny tiny scent of onions. Y'all know what that means? Spring is not that far away. It was just warm enough, there was just that scent, and it made me go in and sit down. Let's try a little bit of visualization, shall we? You know how much I'm into that. No, I'm not taking you on a train ride today or out to the barn to work on a tractor. Today, I want you to pretend back to when you was maybe 9, 8, maybe 10 years old. And it was a mild summer day. Mild. Can anybody think back that far? Frank, you know you can think back that far. It's a mild summer day. And you're out playing outside. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what the girls did. I know what I did at that age. I was somewhere on the farm getting in trouble. Or in the woods fixing to find a way to get in trouble. Because that's how much fun I wanted to have. But you're outside playing. You know, you're exploring. You're doing whatever. The sun has begun to set. Shadows are getting a little long. It's a little bit late in the day. And maybe you catch that scent of fresh cut alfalfa. Anybody in here know that smell? Anybody in here wish they'd put it on a candle so you could have it in the house? I still wish they'd put engine oil on a candle, but my wife won't. Maybe there's something out there you hear, the wind pushing through the trees, ever so slightly. Bees out there buzzing. Are you getting the feeling that perfect, mild summer evening? You've been playing all day. The world is yours. You ain't in school. Your chores are done. The sun is starting to set, and you've been so busy, you suddenly forgot that it was soon time to get home. And maybe you're a little bit further out than you expected you would be. Maybe you're getting out there a whole lot further than you should have been as it's starting to get dark in the woods or out in the field. The shadows are starting to get a little long. Maybe you're getting a little anxious. But yet, look with me. You see it off in the distance. You know what you see? Everybody had them. Off in the distance, that old yellow bulb hanging on the back porch. Everybody remember the yellow bulb? Everybody had that because that was supposed to keep the bugs away. It never worked, did it? Because what was one thing Mom always said? Would you shut the door before you let all the bugs in? Yeah, but Mom, you got the bulb out here. They're not supposed to come in the house. Ow! What was that for? I used to love doing that. You see it off in the distance. There's the bulb, the back porch. And so you start making your way. And maybe you can hear that voice of your mother or your father calling out to you. Come on in here. It's time to come home. It's time to come in. The shadows are getting long. We sing that old hymn. And you start to move a little quicker because the shadows are getting a little longer. And your best cousin has done told you 50 times if you're out in the woods too long that the boogeyman will get you. Right? I know that. And you take off running for the house. And the Port's getting closer, the light's getting brighter, and maybe you hurry up a little bit, and maybe you heard a twig behind you snap, and you think there's a monster coming after you, and you're starting to run now, and the shadows are long, and it's dark, and you turn the corner, and you run up them steps, maybe there's 12, 14 steps to the top of the porch, and you hit them, boing, 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 and you jump on that porch, and right into the arms of Mama or Daddy, and into the house you go, where there's a warm plate of cookies and safety. Everybody remember running for that back porch? Say amen.
Amen.
That's a good memory, ain't it? That is a good memory. Listen to these words again. I want you to hear about what I call the back porch. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me to be also where I am. I love that. But lately, I had heard that that scripture was getting old and tired. Old and tired. Can you imagine that? There are certain scriptures that have become the constant scripture you reach out to. Everybody reaches out to the big one. What's the number of the big one?
John 3:16.
Boy, I got a room full of uneducated Christians here. What's the big one?
John 3:16.
Man, I'll tell you. John 3:16. I don't want to play this game anymore, Paul. I don't go to school right now. Everybody knows that one. Everybody knows all of them. Everybody knows Revelation. Behold, I am coming soon. And some people say, how in the world can you preach on that same sermon? Do you know why I'm stuck on that sermon today? So that we don't forget what the Lord Jesus Christ gave us when he died right there. He gave us a home. He gave us the back porch. He gave us that place of safety. Jesus goes on about it. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas, ever Thomas. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus' head must have hurt when he had to answer that. Look, you know who I am. You've seen me. You've been with me. I am the way and the truth and the light. The most important part of that scripture that we need to hammer in here, that we need to take a break and dwell on once a week, is what? No one comes to the Father except what?
Except through me.
You're not getting a bigger birthday present. Well, they might. Except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm standing on the back porch holding my hand out. Maybe those long shadows, you're looking toward the end of something. Maybe the end of a long day. I don't know. Maybe the end of a long trial that you've been under, a tribulation. Something going on in your life that you thought would never end. You're finally seeing the end of it, and he is standing there reaching out. I've got you. The reason we read that scripture is not just because it fits. We read that scripture to remember, to remind ourselves, to not let ourselves forget. Her name was Jeannie Hussey. Anybody know who Jeannie Hussey is? Man, if you all could be just as educated as me. She had a hard life. She had bad arthritis. It was crippling. It was painful. And beyond all this, she had to take care of an invalid sister. She had to lift up that sister every day and take her through the day. Jeannie Hussey had to do that. Her family, going back for many generations, had been Quakers, but she became a Baptist. She lived a life of solitude. When she requested the believer's baptism at the First Baptist Church in Concord, New Hampshire, she said to the pastor, I've spent much of my life hidden away in the country, and I'd like to have the opportunity before God takes me home to tell everybody, I love Jesus. Jeannie Hussey. Right? Y'all know her now, right? Everybody's like, so what? What, Paul? What? One thing Jeannie Hussey did, even with arthritis, barely able to play the piano, barely able to sit down with a pen and paper, she wrote a few things. Listen to these words. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall be the glory. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Nothing yet? Maybe the chorus. You want me to sing the chorus? Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Jeannie Hussey wrote that great and beautiful hymn. You know why? So that she wouldn't forget. So that she could tell everybody how much she loved Jesus. So she would never allow herself to forget the love that Jesus had when he spoke and said, in my house are many mansions. And I'm coming for you. I'm going there and make a place for you. And when the time has come, I'm coming to get you. I'm going to put you there in one of the greatest places on earth, the back porch. Because that's where all the best people come in, don't they? Whenever you saw somebody on the front porch, they were usually selling a vacuum cleaner, weren't they? That's what he says in these verses. We continue on. Thomas is doubting him. Jesus has to explain it to him. I am the way and the truth and the life. Please don't forget that. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And yet Philip wasn't satisfied. And that's the way it is today. I talk to people about going to church on Sunday morning. What's the Lord done for me? When that statement comes up, I am that close to forgetting I'm a pastor and starting to remember that I am a big, strong, hard-hitting mountain boy who does not like it when you blaspheme my Savior. And I ball one up, and then I unclench, and I'm like, you're breathing, ain't you? You were born, weren't you? That's why you are to remember your Savior. Don't you know me, Philip? Jesus says, even after I've been among you such a long time. How that must have hurt him to ask that question. In essence, the whole 14 verses right there are commanding us to remember that whatever we have going on this earth, however it is, we are here but a short period of time, and we are to lift up the name of Jesus Christ every chance we get. This scripture could be titled a bunch of different things. Grace, mercy, love, patience. I like it because I think it means hope. You know what hope is? A man was at a little league baseball game. And he walked down in the dugout. And he happened to notice what the score was. And he turned to one little boy and he goes, is that score right? And the boy says, yep, it's 18 to nothing. They're ahead of us. And the man said, you are 18 to nothing? The little boy said, that's right. He said, I'll bet you're discouraged, ain't you? And the little boy says, why? We ain't even got up to bat yet. Now that's hope. And that's what we have. When we take a moment to relax and push ourselves back and we walk into this scripture, we have hope. Verse 11, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles of themselves. Powerful writings. Powerful, powerful writings. I remember what the back porch meant to me growing up. We all had them. I know that, as you all know, I lived around all my family. My aunts, uncles, grandfather, grandmother, they were all there. All I had to do was back porch. Boy, there were cookies waiting. Didn't matter what time of day it was, I'd just give them that face. Ready? And if that wasn't good enough, I'd scuff myself a little bit and whip up a tear or two. I fell. Can I have a cookie? That's a good memory. And that's the way we need to think about what Jesus Christ has to offer for us. It's not fancy. It's not drawn out. He died on that cross for our sins so that we would never, ever die. Though we might go to sleep here, we will wake up in glory. Amen. Amen. I remember sitting with my grandfather in the porch swing. Our job was to sit in the porch swing with him, and my grandfather would go, "Hold on a minute," and he would come back out with a box of strawberries or an apple, and he always cut the apple bigger for us than it was for him. And as three cousin boys would get together in this big swing, we figured out we had one job to do, all because of my grandfather. He said, "You know, as you boys get bigger and try harder, if you swing this thing hard enough, you could touch your feet on the ceiling." Really? Well, I can tell you right now, we went to working on that. And eventually, we were able to do it. Footprints on the ceiling. And my grandmother would come out, and she would look up at that, and we would think we were going to get in trouble, and she would scold my grandfather. And that was great times on that back porch. You know, until the first time she actually saw us do it, and then that all changed a little bit. But I remember the safety, the relax, the moment that it was all over. That day was over. Jesus Christ said, "Trust in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled." He could have, in essence, said, I'll put this into my words. "I have made some place for you. It's there because I said it's there. There's no reason for you to doubt me. I came from the Father, and the only way you're going to the Father is through me. Don't worry about what the world says. Don't worry about anything else. Believe in me." And for those of you who are having trouble with it, figure it out. Blessed are those. He even says, what do we see now a little bit further on? He said, "I tell you the truth," verse 12, "anyone who has faith in me and will do what I have been doing, he will do even greater things than these, because I am going to be with the Father." Jesus said, "I'm going home. But what I have taught you and what you do will be as great as what I've done, or better." In Matthew, these words come strong, come true from the 25th chapter, one verse. Verse 23, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well done. I make a lot of jokes about it because to me it's kind of funny. But I take it in the utmost seriousness that one day I'm going to stand in front of my Lord. I ain't playing around about this. This is where you start sharpening your axe when you remember this. One day I am leaving this earth, and I can't take anything with me. I don't care how big a hole I'm planning to dig to put all my tractors and steam engines and stuff in to take with me. It ain't going along. And I'm going to stand in front of God Himself, and He's going to start reading about me. And it ain't going to be pretty. And the shadows are going to get longer. And it's going to get dark. And when I hear about all that sin, and God say, "There ain't no way you are worthy of my gift to you." The back porch light will come on. Jesus Christ is going to step out there and go, "Hey, Father, I got His name in my book right here." And God's going to go, "Fair enough." And tear it out, wash it away, and my sins will be gone, and I'll be brought in. If you believe in the same Jesus Christ that I do, if you believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life, then you know that He died for your sins as well, and you know where you are going when it's time. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's right. And so you need to take a break every now and then. Sharpen your axe and remind yourself, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. So we take a rest because we remember, because we know the truth, because we have the hope in Him who saved us. Back porch light just came on. I can't wait to see Him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven above, we thank You. Oh, for the words that You have given here today, for the thoughts that You have bestowed upon us, we thank You, Father. We ask that you strengthen us with that and remind us where we are going. Not just when we go outside these doors, but that we belong to you. That it is our job that when we are, quote unquote, busy, 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 and somebody asks us how we are, how about we say, hey, I'm pretty good. How are you? That we remind ourselves that being busy is but a temporary thing here. Oh, we know it's good to work. It's good to be productive. It's good to get things done. But Father, like them two woodcutters, it's good to stop and sharpen the axe. It's good to remind ourselves of the beauty of the simplistic back porch. The vision we have of Jesus standing there waiting for us when our day is done. Oh, it fills us up, Father. We thank you so much. We thank you for these words. We ask that you use them to strengthen us in the minutes, hours, days to come, that we would be able to say about Jesus to the world, well, I love him. I love Jesus and he loves you. Let me tell you how. We thank you, Father, for these words. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.